Here's Jesus' Jerusalem trip disciple do list. Can you take care of these things? When we get to Bethphage near Bethany, go into the village and borrow the unridden colt. If anyone questions you, just tell them that the Lord needs it. Bring the colt to me near the Mount of Olives and put your cloaks on the colt and help me up. I know it's a little colt, but just work with me here. When we get to the path down from the mount, start cheering and shouting, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Keep cheering even when the religious leaders tell you to stop. I'll tell the religious leaders that silence isn't an option for you and for all the people. Thanks. The disciples did exactly what the to-do list said, the disciple do list. But then there's another list that's the Jesus' Jerusalem trip plan. And this isn't necessarily written about in the story. It's sort of adjacent to the story of Palm Sunday. So, thoughts that might have run through Jesus' mind as he planned. Pilate and the Roman soldiers are going to be marching into town on the other side of town. It's Passover, and they're going to come to keep the peace. They'll be riding war horses. They will be keeping the peace through intimidation and through power. The people will be required to shout something like, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," as they march into town as warriors to keep the peace, the Lord being Caesar. I'm going to do the opposite from the other side of town. Not a war horse, but a donkey colt. I can get one just by having the disciples go into town and say, "The Lord needs this," because the people are pretty used to being intimidated by people coming around, sounding official and saying, "The Lord needs this." They'll probably let them have it without question. Make sure to give the colt back later, though. "I'm going to come down as the King of Peace, not war." Have the disciples spread their cloaks on the colt and start shouting as soon as we get to the path down from the mount. "Now come into town as the people shout out, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Come humbly as they spread their cloaks on the ground in front of me." If there are any palms waving, someone else will have to write about that later. As you noticed, palms are not present in the reading from Luke. They're not present in the reading from Matthew and Mark either, but they are present in the reading from John, recounting the same event. But someone else will have to write about the palm part. When the religious leaders get worried that our parade is going to overshadow Pilate's parade, they'll want us to quiet down. That will make us cheer even louder. I'll say something about stones shouting. It'll probably be the kind of thing people write songs about in the future. See, Jesus coming into town on Palm Sunday, we celebrate it and we get to see it from our perspective. The palms waving and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But you know, when you look at Jesus and say, "He is Lord," what that really means is Caesar is not. This is revolutionary talk. For Jesus humbly coming into town on a donkey and people to shout, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," is revolutionary. For Jesus to send the disciples into town and say, "The Lord needs this colt," I don't think that the people who gave them the colt knew it was Jesus that it was for. Because if you say the Lord needs it, of course they think Caesar, because Caesar is Lord. And if you call Jesus Lord, that means Caesar isn't. But it doesn't say Jesus needs it, it says the Lord needs it. So they gave him the colt. We can trust that the colt got back undamaged later because Jesus rode it softly and peacefully. Pilate really, well, the Bible doesn't record it. But at Passover, Pilate would have come into town. It was tradition that the powerful Romans would come into town during the Jewish festivals, during the Jewish holidays, to make sure that there was no ruckus or nothing, no kind of rabble-rousing going on. They would come in and people would have to cheer because that was the rule. And they would say something like, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," as Pilate or whoever was governor at the time would ride in slowly, but the horse glaring at everyone and the soldiers glaring at everyone, daring them to say anything different. And the people would shout. And Jesus came into town on the other side. And many of the people knew who Jesus was, because it says they were shouting because of the deeds of power that he had done. But many of the people shouting, I think they were probably there because you got to shout when Pilate's parade is going on. Well, this doesn't look exactly like Pilate's parade, but we're supposed to shout anyway. So they shouted, and they threw cloaks on the ground, and they waved palms in the air. And so Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, it did go according to plan. Not my silly to-do list or Jesus writing down stuff before he goes into town plan, but according to God's plan. That rebellious God who says, ha-ha, you know what? Pilate's not going to win. Caesar's not going to win this time. You see, God's plan turned things upside down. Jesus coming in on a donkey is upside down. It's not the warrior coming in. God's plan went against conventional wisdom. It was dangerous to come into town that way. Conventional wisdom says, keep your nose down, don't get into trouble. Start an underground movement, but don't make a big scene. God's plan always turns things upside down. That's what God does. God takes our conventional wisdom and says, ha, it's something different. Just when we think that we've got it all figured out, we learn that God's plan turns things upside down. And you know, the rest of Jesus' week went kind of the same, flipping things upside down. Let me run through the rest of Jesus' week in nothing flat. We'll hear about it at Maundy Thursday. We'll hear about it at Good Friday. But let me just give you the quick run through. After riding into town, Jesus lamented that Jerusalem didn't know him when he arrived. And he went to the temple. He got angry, said it was like a den of thieves, and he flipped over a bunch of tables. After making the religious leaders good and mad so they'd plot against him, Jesus began to talk and teach. The religious leaders would question him, and Jesus would tell parables. Some questions would come, and more questions. Some of them were really angry questions, some of them designed to trip Jesus up. And Jesus kept talking and teaching. He condemned hypocrisy, and he warned of tough times ahead. He didn't praise power. He spoke harshly against those who abused power. He spoke compassionately for the poor and the outcast. Judas plotted to betray Jesus. Some say it was because he was just a horrible person or a thief. And I think maybe that Judas didn't like this whole Jesus coming in humbly thing, this king of peace thing. He wanted someone who would be the king of war and take over. He wanted Jesus to be that king. So he forced Jesus to show his warrior self. And it didn't work out that way. The disciples gathered to celebrate Passover with Jesus, the Last Supper. And during the meal, Jesus instituted with them what we still celebrate in Holy Communion. Judas left. Jesus told Peter that Peter would deny him three times before morning, and Peter swore it wouldn't happen. It did. Jesus went to the garden to pray. He prayed that maybe he didn't have to go through what was coming. The waiting disciples fell asleep. Judas came to the garden with the religious leaders and the temple guards, and Judas kissed Jesus, and the guards arrested Jesus. Peter tried to defend Jesus and even cut off the ears of one of the guards. Jesus fixed the ear. They took Jesus to the home of the high priest. Peter followed, but when confronted by the people nearby as one of Jesus' followers, he denied it three times. The chief priests and the scribes interrogated Jesus and beat him. Pilate interrogated Jesus, saw no reason to hold him, but sent him to Herod at the insistence of the religious leaders. Herod and his soldiers interrogated and mocked Jesus and then sent him back to Pilate. Pilate still saw no reason to further hold Jesus. He tried to release him. Instead, the crowd demanded that they release Barabbas, a murderer and an insurrectionist. They made Simon of Cyrene in Africa carry Jesus' cross. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem again. Jesus was crucified with two thieves. The crowd mocked Jesus on the cross. One of the thieves was angry and wanted Jesus to save them. And the other asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It got dark at noon, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. God's way in the last week of Jesus' life seems upside down. It's not the way you go about taking over or being successful or anything like that. God's way in the last week of Jesus' life doesn't match up with conventional wisdom that says, have a plan that's going to succeed. Have a plan that's going to get you where you need to go. You can see it, set a goal and get there. See, God's way turns things upside down. God's way goes against conventional wisdom. And we continue our Holy Week celebrations and preparations. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for this season of reflection. Thank you for this season of celebration and this season of preparation. Help us to remember. Help us to reflect. Help us to be ready to celebrate as the week goes on, as we anticipate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.